Fair enough.
Fair enough. Welcome to the Futile Podcast tonight from 2006.
I say from New York.
We are talking about the sequel to Pitch Black, The Chronicles of Riddick, starring Vin Diesel and Keith David and Dame Judi Dench and Carl Urban and Linus Roach.
So is the anime one, the Dark Fury, is that a racist name since he's a Furian? And they're calling him a Dark Furian?
I don't know.
No, they're just saying that he's...
He's like a dark soul.
He's like a glass half-empty kind of guy.
Yep.
I don't think he is. I think he's an optimist.
He does seem
like... He's like, sounds like that's your problem.
Yeah, right. That's
he only cared because of they tied it back into
that's
something.
A glass completely full.
He's definitely not a whiner, that's for sure.
He's like, I don't care what you do, I'm good.
He's solution-oriented. Even in Pitch Black, he's solution-oriented. So, do you want to talk about Pitch Black, or you want to get straight into Riddick? I feel like we've talked about Pitch Black a few times.
Did we watch Pitch Black tonight?
No, but, you wanted a refresher, so that's what I was asking.
I didn't want a refresher.
You were like, well, previously on Pitch Black.
It doesn't matter what happened.
Okay, that's a good
point.
It's
not even really a sequel. It's just more of its own movie.
It is kind of its own start to, like, what I think was originally planned to be a trilogy or something. Now, Tyler, you've done the wiki research. You have, like, a PhD in Riddick here, so what do you think? What was the plan was, like, do two more movies and, like, they end up in the Underverse at the end of the second one or something?
They never said that. You have the trilogy that we have. I think, like Zach was saying, Pitch Black was such a nice success, they decided to keep going. And that was back when they were doing the, like, multimedia, like, sweep.
Right.
They're like, we got a movie, so let's do some comics, let's do a cartoon show, some video games, and they just kind of hit everything they could. And then when, Chronicles of Riddick came out, and it was kind of a, like a blockbuster movie, they were like,
You didn't introduce everybody.
Oh,
you have to say this person's here and this person's here. No, to the audience, to the vast audience.
The audience, okay. Tonight we have Zach, and Tyler, and Seth, and Ian, and we're talking about Chronicles of Riddick, we've been talking about Chronicles of Riddick. If you're just joining us, now,
so let me ask.
Already in progress.
What happens in Pitch Black?
Okay. Well, in Pitch Black, they're on a ship, and
this one has two vents.
Were they all prisoners?
These all have two vents now.
It was like three convicts. It was like a commercial liner that had.
Yeah,
he was the one prisoner.
One convict. It was like a back lane shipment truck.
And it was something about like redemption with the Rhoda Mitchell character or something, because she had let some people die or something.
What is the Underverse?
They leave that kind of.
I think her name is Rhoda Mitchell.
Is it Rhoda? I thought it was a D.
No, Rhona. Rhona is. The one who was in like that Neil Marshall movie.
Oh, okay.
Rhona Mitra, I think her name is.
Idea.
She's Fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was.
Don't push that button, Fry!
She was naked in Hollow Man.
Hollow Man 1?
Yeah. Not Hollow Man 2.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, with Christian Slater. So we're not talking about the Hollow Man series, we're talking about the Riddick series.
Did you know that Hollow Man was naked? All the time in that movie?
Oh my gosh, she was constantly naked. Every time, because they were constantly like blowing water all over the place just so you could see his dick all the time. Gosh. Remember that?
Your buddy Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah, he loves dick.
Well, that's where he ended up.
Do you think like six generations later that he'd just take the family name of Holloman?
Yeah, they'd change it slightly or something.
Holloman.
Okay, so back to Riddick here. You get the focus going.
Paul Verhoeven.
Yes. So, we find at the beginning, you got Riddick. He doesn't look like Riddick. He's got his hair grown out, he's got a beard out, he's totally changed his look.
It was good.
It was a switch up on you. It gave you, like, a different feel, a different look. And Pitch Black was this, like, hot desert planet, and you were on this ice world. There's still mercs chasing after him, he's still got people going for him. And then we switch gears, and we see this, like, epic sensibility. So it really does blow the world out from what Pitch Black is, which is kind of like almost a Western in a weird kind of way, because it's like this ragtag group of people has to like make it across scary terrain. It's a sci-fi Western. It's Stagecoach, basically. I'm saying it's John Ford Stagecoach.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You were gonna say something.
Well, I was gonna say something about the movie we're watching.
Okay, let's do that then.
So in Chronicles of Riddick, so the reason why he's on this ice planet. So if you just watch the movie and didn't listen for the subtle clues like lines of dialogue,
yeah,
you wouldn't. You would be like, why is he on the ice planet?
That's what I was thinking.
Why is his hair long? Like, is he just surviving alone in the ice planet? He has no way of getting off of it. You know, inquiring minds want to know these things,
right?
And it turns out that he tells Kira, who in
Jack,
the movie Pitch Black, was named Jack, and he tells her that he was keeping the heat off of her. You know what yeah. I mean? So here's my thing.
Literally by being yeah. in the ice planet,
by changing his appearance.
What? No, the change in his appearance just because he didn't.
He was so under the radar. Only the highest caliber merc
no.
could possibly have any chance of finding him. Enter Tombs. You set it up. You set it up. He's 5 years.
Tombs, no. Tombs who finds is an idiot.
Him? Who's there to find
Tombs
him?
Tombs is the worst. Your obsessive worship of Tombs has sunk this podcast yet again. Every podcast we talk about, whatever. The Garfield movie. We talk about...
Haven't done that one yet.
You know...
I don't want the audience to feel like, where's the Garfield pod? And they're searching through the archives and the backlogs. There's no Garfield. Garfield's
searching. They're frantically searching.
There's no Garfield podcast. Right.
Every podcast is derailed by your constant yammering about Tombs.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying, though. They're like, there's an argument there.
At least this one, it's appropriate.
Yeah,
it's appropriate in this one. It's okay for you to bring up Tombs.
What was Riddick's biggest mistake?
Well, number one, it was something. Number two, something else. And then number three, he didn't dust Tombs' dick.
I think number two was the dick dusting. Yeah,
there was only two. Riddick did three.
Oh, yeah. Riddick's, because he wanted to show him that he's three and not two. He's a little bit, he's got a little more in the dick dusting department.
Apparently.
So here's what I was saying about that.
Right.
I don't, what was I?
I don't know.
About Tombs. About.
So. Riddick is
keeping the heat off.
So he's this whole movie, he's been operating under altruistic
yep.
motives.
A little bit of the anti-hero stuff.
He's not an anti-hero. Okay. Tombs is an anti-hero.
Tombs is just an awful, incompetent bounty hunter.
Well, okay, say why would you do that? Say Tombs decided to help someone at any point in the movie.
He doesn't, because he's awful.
He could have.
He helps all... He hires people. Like he
does employ people.
He does employ people.
Yeah, he's a generator. And we got to imagine that he takes care of his people, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, when the guy gets his head knocked off, and he goes, like... He's like, yeah, I get more money. The guy that I hired that I didn't need.
Well, here's the situation. Gone. What are you going to do when you're in a situation where you and your group befall a tragedy? You going to cry about it, or you going to turn around, and you're going to make some lemonade and be like, hey, look, everybody... You know, we just had a bad situation, but the silver lining here is that it's a four-way split now.
Tombs is silver lining playbook.
Tombs is making lemons into lemonade.
Yeah.
All day, every day, in crematoria.
He made tons of lemonade in that prison with the two.
With the cats.
I bet he just sat there making lemonade yeah. all day. Every...
With the color-changing scale cats.
I did like the idea that... it was probably Seth brought up that Riddick is actually Tombs' supervisor and he's assessing Tombs'.
I brought that up.
Go ahead and talk about the movie.
Okay. So we find they've blown it. I will say, like, this movie is ridiculous, but this movie has...
Ridiculous?
It's ridiculous, yes. And see, we know, would you have thought that was Seth or me that came up with that?
It's pretty bad.
Bad
that wasn't Ian.
Yeah, see, but there you go. So all bets are
off.
Well,
let the record show you said it.
But there's like a lot of fun sort of creative stuff. I mean, obviously it's borrowing heavily from like Star Wars and Spielberg movies and all kinds of things. But it keeps itself going. It's got kind of a weird plotting, a weird structure, I think. For me, at least it does, because that first act is kind of strange. But all the stuff once they get to the prison and then when they got to escape the prison, like that's interesting. That's fun. That's
except
exciting.
The fact that he said he planned all of that like down to the details.
He did. You can tell that he's looking too when they're first discussing the money, and he's sitting there like looking at all the different aspects of like the way that the command post is set up, and then later on when he sees how the screw works to raise it up and down.
So he's like a super genius that's also like a
well, it's part of his strategic mind. It's part of his strategic mind. Yeah, it's all goes together. It's not like it's mutually exclusive. It's like those things all connect. You know, his keen senses and his ability to process and strategize ways of
attack. You think these movies would have made more or less money if Michael Chiklis had played Riddick?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't know where was the Shield at in 2006? It was still a couple seasons before it was over, right?
Well, you tell me. I don't know.
I think it was. I'm a little curious about the history for this movie in terms of why do we think it didn't do as well? Did it come out at a bad time, or was it just that no one could see him?
Budget.
It was just strictly too much.
It cost far, far more, and was on a much grander scale than the original thing, and it ended up making like the same amount of money. Because the same exact people who saw the first one saw the same.
Right. It didn't grow the market. It didn't grow.
People weren't audience. Raising, in the few years between the first one and the second one, people weren't raising their children to want to go also purchase tickets.
That's right. It didn't have that return on investment then.
I loved Chronicles of Riddick. Okay, I'll see you guys.
No.
I loved it in the theater. I thought it was very ambitious.
Absolutely.
An extremely ambitious sci-fi film. The scope was massive. It really was an epic type of deal. And it had an awesome ending.
It's got a
great ending. It's
memorable. That always stays with you, yeah.
It's good set pieces. It's just so odd. And sci-fi is allowed to exist in this universe where odd things can be something you're like, that's great. But like, odd dramas don't really kind of fall by the wayside. It just usually means there's a poor director or something behind it. In this case, it's just so strange. Anything that's strange stands out from like the Supernovas and the
right, yeah, the sort of generic like we know what's
really
going on.
Really generic sci-fi type deals. I don't know. There's just something interesting. Plus, it's character based. It's a franchise about a certain character,
right?
So you can build different scenarios around that, and it seems like that's what he's done so far with these different things, to build scenarios around this person who reacts a certain way to things,
right?
But I haven't watched it again. I've seen it a bunch of times, but having watched it this last time, it really stuck out to me that Vin Diesel is just the worst.
Maybe not the best person to base.
No, and it's not his fault. It's like the lines they give him to say are just so, like, overwhelmingly badass all the time.
Right.
It's. I mean,
there's not a lot of arc or depth to the character.
Tui is a studio writer.
Yeah.
You know, and it comes across as somebody who has interesting ideas, but still wants to ground it all in very, very studio dialogue. Which he does. You know, which is fine.
I think now it's kind of a joke on some level, but like it's actually not that bad a movie. It's a good
You're really downplaying
movie.
It. Like I really like the movie, and you're like,
well, I like the movie okay too. But
you know, the two people listening are like, I hate Chronicles.
I'm not hedging. I'm not hedging my bets. You know me. I mean, I don't trade in a lot of irony here.
I can't believe Chronicles of Riddick haters are so passionate.
Yeah. There's that forum. The forums for hating Chronicles of Riddick.
Does anyone really hate... I don't think anyone hates any sci-fi movies.
Nobody. Sci-fi nerds get... They get big and disappointed. People hate Prometheus.
That's true.
You know? People hate movies that Prometheus they really wanted to like.
I still need to watch that fan
like.
Cut. I'm going to watch that fan cut.
There's a fan cut of Prometheus?
Yeah, it's supposed to be awesome. No, that's the one that Jeremy said was great.
Wait, there's a director's cut
there's
now?
There's no director's cut.
Isn't there some extended cut with the Blu-ray that has more?
The fan cut out a bunch of scenes. And
just removed,
everyone said it's awesome.
It removed all the stupid shit and just turned it into like
you
more of a
stupid,
monster movie?
I say awesome.
But you
like really,
it.
Really? You thought it was awesome when he's like, I'm just going to take my helmet off.
Yeah.
That's not awesome. That's just bad
writing.
People
do stupid stuff in movies all the time. Why do you want it to all be logical?
It doesn't have to even be logical. It just
they could take their helmets off.
They could have made a situation in the story that would have made it more exciting and forced them to have to take their helmets off. That would have been better writing in every sense of the word, and it wouldn't have had to make the character dumb. Instead, it was just lazy and sloppy. They're like, well, let's make him so that he's so driven by whatever that he's not gonna. Oh, we didn't observe anything in 2 seconds, so I guess the whole planet is safe. It's not like infectious diseases take longer than like 3 minutes to do anything to you. I guess the air is cool. That was dumb. That was bad. That was an easy solve. That was an easy solve in a punch up that somebody could have done.
And it thoroughly applies to Chronicles of Riddick.
Not really, because they didn't have those kinds of problems in Chronicles of Riddick. They just had a world. They jumped into it, like you said. There was a lot of exposition, but it was done in a Shakespearean over overly intense way with a lot of different characters.
Oh no, I'm gonna charge right in. Is there a fan cut where Riddick fights Xenomorphs? Because I would watch that.
That would be good. Maybe they'll connect the two at some point. Maybe Prometheus 3 will be Riddick 4. Making it. Well, they're working on it. Two, yeah. It's all about being a trilogy.
What if the only connection between the two worlds is Tombs? What if Tombs shows up from Prometheus 2? Would you like that?
I don't know, man. Tombs.
Hey, Prometheus, that's my dick.
Tombs is a great character. I have to admit,
Tombs is not a great.
He stays
character.
With you. There's something stays about. There's something about the
he's
way
up in the apartment right now.
There's something about the way Ron Chitlin or whatever his name is like plays that character.
Is he a better or worse character than Robert Blake in Money Train?
In Money Train, they're comparable. That's for sure. Robert Blake was good in Money Train. Now you like Johns a lot from the original Pitch Black.
I love Johns. He's a much more serious character.
That's true. Yeah,
Johns is no nonsense, and he's a real heavy. Yeah. Tombs is not a real heavy. He's comedic relief.
He's
a thorn in Riddick's side. You never once worry about Tombs getting Riddick.
That's true.
He got Riddick.
Twice.
Riddick let him get him.
Mm-hmm. And that helped him get off the planet. That was kind of good writing.
The first time, Riddick got him. He didn't get Riddick. The second time, he let him get him so he could take him. And he even...
Look at the back of Seth's eyes. You can see the wheels turning on the tubes long con.
He doesn't even know what I'm saying. It's not a Tombs long con. Riddick, while he's strapped up, basically tells Tombs where to take him.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, all right. That was my idea, huh?
And his new five people are like, why don't you tell us what we're doing here?
He's like, I had no plan.
Wait. Tombs is sitting in his little cell. The weird cat's on the other side.
Yeah.
Everyone leaves. He's gone. He's sitting there. He's screaming his lungs out. He knows everyone's gone. He goes, ha, 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 one-way split.
Yep.
It's a one-way split.
One-way split when he never sees Riddick again. He's only worried about the bottom line.
Maybe he's like, my overhead is just lower and lower.
He's going to become the new prison guy. Maybe that was his whole thing. He just wanted to be a prison warden. He was done with the Merc game.
Prison warden.
And now he's got...
He didn't ask a lot about... he did ask. He asked where the secret safe was.
Well, he knew his secret safe was.
He wanted to see the books.
That's true. He was thinking about investing in prisons. It's a wise investment
career
these days.
Yeah. He's looking for a career change.
So all these other subtle, complicated things going on in the background of this movie. One thing I do remember about the theatrical cut that I don't think I got as much of in this cut was I feel like there was more with the liaison or whoever that guy was that was half Furian, and I feel like there was more with Carl Urban. Like, did they cut stuff from this version?
No.
Okay, then I don't know what it was, I guess.
I think they added stuff.
They added
Purifier.
Purifier stuff. Yeah. The Fury, half Furian.
Yeah, the guy that went out in the blaze of glory. He went out Bon Jovi style. Mm-hmm. And then that is weird that he gets back up when he's half charged. Is that to show like that he's so determined to keep moving? Like, what is that all about? That's
the Furian. Yeah,
the Furian.
He's furious.
Yeah, right.
He was furious that he made such a decision. He's like, why?
And so, like, I feel like there's enough with... And like you say, the way that it ends, it's not like every bad guy is dispatched, so it does leave, like, more to happen there. And so when we see the next Riddick movie...
I'm really, what's happening. Having watched this again, I'm really actually extremely curious. Maybe even bi-curious to see why you would leave... an army of people at your behest,
right?
To be like,
well, I think
I'm gonna go ahead and just crash land on a crappy planet full of monsters again.
I think it's consistent with his character to not want to have that role.
No, I know he doesn't want to, but he could have used it pretty well.
That's true. Yeah. So I will.
However,
see what's going on.
You know, despite how he is set up in the first film,
right?
We know pretty soon that he's a big softie, a sweetheart.
Yeah,
he's a teddy bear.
Yeah,
he's a Teddy Graham. He's a Billy Graham. He's Billy Graham.
Okay.
And he just kind of wants to be left alone.
Right.
So the fact that he's presented as a multiple murderer, yada, yada, he's been in and out of prisons, I'm pretty sure that he probably hasn't ever really murdered anyone. He's just kind of been probably
defensive.
Killed 70 or 80 people in self-defense.
That's possible. It happens.
And it's because he walks
happens
in,
to me all the time.
He walks into bars, and someone asks him a question. He says something just extremely rude and crass.
Little smart ass.
Why don't you dust my dick?
Yeah. Learned it from Tombs. And then someone attacks him, and then he stabs him to death, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets sent to prison.
With a teacup.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't care.
They never did play that. Have they ever played that up? The fact that he wears those goggles because his eyes are too sensitive to light. So, like, in the broad daylight at the beginning in Hellion, he's wearing them because, like, he couldn't see in that environment, right? But well, then later on, when, like, there's torches and stuff, he takes them off and it gives him, like, magic powers.
He takes them off when it's dark so that he has the magic powers. When he takes them off when it's light, it's just because he wants people to know how shocked he is.
I guess. Which is another, I mean, I guess...
Difficulty. He's like,
difficulty he created for that character. It's like he's already kind of seemingly so driven in one way that it's like, tough when you can't see his eyes.
If I had a dollar for every time he takes those on or off,
yeah,
like $8 or $9,
you'd almost have enough to go see Riddick.
$15,
yeah, you'd have enough to go to the theater and see Riddick.
Is it just called Riddick?
It's just called Riddick. They kept it simple. This is the second Vin Diesel franchise where they're doing the like just. Names out the window thing, isn't it? Because Fast and Furious has become like so ridiculous with the titles. Like it was.
Don't pretend like it's not great titles.
No, I'm not saying they're not great titles. I'm just saying that they're out there.
Triple X is just going to be X.
Triple X, yeah. So any final thoughts on the Riddick franchise or where we would hope to see it go? Or
it's fantastic. I just want more violence.
Yeah,
I'm excited for him to kill more monsters as opposed to people. Like I said, I almost like you feel sorry for everyone he kills, so they don't have a goddamn chance against him.
That's true, yeah. Seth,
that last dude had a chance.
Yeah,
he just got screwed by the chick, and then that other dude.
Yeah, that is kind of a like unfair fight going on in that situation.
But that dude's kind of a monster.
Yeah, he is. He's got magical, and that is really curious to know what's going on with that guy. He's been to the Underverse and given him these powers and all that. So there's definitely a lot of mythology that's left to be explored in this universe, and I'd be interested to see some of it. I don't know how much of it gets explored in the games. It sounds like the games are just good stories, but not really. They don't really get into the major mythology of the whole world, the universe, so much.
Kind of. I mean, like, it becomes obvious pretty early on that he was lying about the doctor with the eye shine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's magic.
And let's make something clear. The games aren't good because of story. They're good because they're good games.
Good gameplay, yeah. Right. Well, yeah, that's first and foremost what a game should be. Like, you don't watch a game for the cutscenes, right?
Or play first-person punching simulators.
A lot of punching.
Oh, wow.
Really awesome punching, yeah.
Cool. I'm not a game guy. I can't speak to it. I'm
not
sorry.
Not a comedy guy.
I know.
It's a dick duster.
All you do is dust dick.
Don't you say that about me.
Riddick's the dick duster. I mean, let's be serious. He's dusted more dicks than a maid who lives in a dick.
Because maids dust a lot. There we go. That's the metaphor there, I guess.
Sorry, are dicks just filled with other dicks?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Every dick is made up of millions of little dicks.
A big dick with shelves of other different kinds of dicks in it.
And the maid in there just dusts them all day. That's the only person who dusts more dicks than Riddick.
Okay, then. Now that we've set that up. So, for Chronicles of Riddick or whatever, I don't know what kind of rating you guys want to go for. Seth?
Chronicles of Dust Dick.
That's what they should have called it.
What kind of system?
That's out of 5 stars, like it always is, Seth.
It could be out of 5 dicks.
Oh, my gosh.
How many dicks out of 5 dicks do you give Chronicle of Dust Dick?
I'd give it like 3.5 dicks.
3.5?
Okay. I'm going to give it 3.5 dicks, too.
4. I love it. 4. I love the shit out of it.
4 whole dicks.
There's barely a mote of dust on my dick after this.
You don't think he's dicking around, do you? That was a good episode. I'll give it...
Mr. Wong.
I'll give it 3.5.
His name was Mr. Wong.
3.5 what?
3.5 stars, because it's the system.
Are you serious?
That's the system.
This guy, man.
Somebody's got to hold their shit together for the podcast. Otherwise it's all dick dusted and chaos and anarchy, and then we live in a society here.
We don't have order.